You're listening to WRUU LP Savannah, Georgia, 107.5 FM, WRUU.org. We are Savannah Soundings, community radio with global soul. You are listening to Murmurations by Kirsten Volness. Is it jazz? Is it classical? Is it pop? Who cares about what label we give it or what musical genre it is? Because it is just wonderful music. You are listening to Evening Eclectic, and I'm Dave Lake, your host, for the next 2 hours of just that, music without labels, just great music and conversation. Enjoy. Tonight on Evening Eclectic, I'm talking with violinist and composer Ruby Colley about her new album, Hello Halo,
which was released this past Friday
on November 14th on New Amsterdam Records. In this album, Ruby and the vocal ensemble Exaudi explores the rich repertoire of sounds and gestures that her neurodivergent brother Paul uses to communicate. Welcome to Evening Eclectic, Ruby Colley.
Thanks for having me.
So let's get to know Ruby Colley. Tell me your musical journey.
I started learning violin at the age of 3, which Paul was, you know, part of. He was always there listening when I was squeaking away. And then I went on to go to the Conservatoire Royal Academy of Music when I was about 12. And then I went on to get a music degree at Dartington College of Arts, which no longer exists, but it's a very special place that specialises in contemporary classical works and art and all the kind of 20th century fun, explorative, you know, experimental worlds. So that was great fun. And then in my 20s, I started to explore electronics and pedals, and I released my first solo album in 2010. And then after a while, I kind of decided it was time to kind of come back to the classical canon a little bit. And I went on to do a master's at Goldsmiths, where I also started to get into sound art and field recording. And yeah, the more kind of sound world elements of contemporary music. And that brought me to my current practice today.
And your current practice involves electronics, involves a lot of field recordings?
Correct, yeah.
As well as violin.
Yeah.
Performance.
Yeah. The violin's always the home, I guess, on which I kind of decorate everything else with.
And so this album has a very interesting context. Mm-hmm. Could you talk a little bit about that and why you decided to go in that direction with this album?
This project generally has been something that's been on my mind for quite a number of years. My brother is neurodivergent, but he's also non-speaking or termed non-verbal. But despite that, he's got so many different ways of communicating that includes words, sounds, and gestures. And to know him is to know that he actually has a really rich world and personhood. And I wanted, you know, I've always heard the way he speaks and the way he invites other people to speak with him as quite musical, quite expressive, really dynamic in its tonality. And I've always heard it as music in my mind. So I really wanted to make more of that and to build from that into something that is both collaborative, involving him in the process, and showing people who he is, basically.
And how did you get interested in Exaudi in this project?
They were suggested to me by a colleague, because Exaudi have always been an ensemble that are very open to experimentation, collaboration, supporting composers as well. especially up and coming composers. James Weeks, the director, was just so incredibly warm and curious about the project. I really appreciated his faith in the whole thing as well. And so he's been involved from the very early beginnings of it when I kind of just pitched it to him. He stuck with it throughout the whole process. I spent a long time with my colleague orchestrator, Lucy Mulgan, how to exactly communicate the sounds and the gestures. That was a really huge part of the kind of development process. It felt important to make it as clear as possible in the score itself.
Well, the piece opens with the title song, Hello, Hello. You have it open with three hellos,
right.
A sort of breathy whisper, then sort of normal volume with a recording of Paul and Exaudi, and then a shout, which I presume also includes a recording of Paul in there too.
Yeah, he's woven into it.
And so you have these three introductory hellos, which are really dramatic. Then we go into a very melodic violin with sort of repeated hellos with
right.
variations of the pronunciation slightly as you go through it, with different Exaudi voices and recordings of Paul sort of intermixed with one another.
Right.
Then there's this very rhythmic, sounds like mum, with the violin passage, both rhythmic ostinato, and then these occasional more lyrical passages. And then Exaudi sings the various other syllables, and there are guttural sounds. I don't know if those are recorded or Exaudi, but they're both melodic as well as rhythmic. And so
right.
you have a real combination of elements in this first piece.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, that first opening movement was the one that was really swimming around my head for quite some time, because the opening is very much about these are all the ways in which Paul can say hello, and they all have different meanings. So it felt quite obvious and important to me to kind of set that out for people to hear, because it is just one word, but for Paul, it has an infinite kind of, you know, context for meaning. So the whispered is like a gentle invitation for connection, and it usually comes with quite intense eye contact. So it's really intimate hello. And then the shouted hello is really much a kind of a declaration, you know, like I'm here, I'm having a great time. It's usually when he's out walking in nature and he's really, really happy. And the upward inflection hello is when he's feeling quite affectionate and, again, kind of wanting to connect, and he usually uses it with his mum. He says mum in the same way as well, so you'll hear that later on in the movement where he uses mummy in the same kind of upward inflection. And the breathy rhythms are also something that he will do as well to kind of self-regulate. It's a repetitive breath and a rocking, and that, again, feels quite rhythmic to me, the way he does that. So I really wanted to bring out all of those textures, and it felt like a really self-made palette that I could just play with.
And so you gave the score to Exaudi with all the rhythmic influences, and so they had that from the score.
For sure, yeah.
And then you were performing at the same time. It's interesting because sometimes the violin sort of pairs up with the voices rhythmically, and sometimes you go into a very melodic background. But the singing in this piece, that's not true throughout all the pieces, but in this piece, the singing is almost always quite rhythmic.
Yeah, I think it felt like the hellos themselves are, obviously, it's just one word. So I wanted to pair it with a rhythmical element as a kind of a seabed for it to kind of float on top of. And I think throughout all the whole piece and the movements themselves, it's all an interplay between how I would use the rhythmic elements of Paul's kind of utterances and the more kind of short, sharp, punctuated elements of his sound world. And a lot of the punctuation are rhythmic as well. So it was just a kind of like creative choice of whether I would repeat that and create a kind of an ostinato, or whether they would be like accents throughout that.
Hello.
Hello!
Then the second piece, what is it? Mm-hmm. And this is really sort of a conversational opening with you saying, hello, Paul, what is it? You look a little bit tired. Mm-hmm. And then you have his recorded vocalizations as well. Mm-hmm. So you start off with a conversation.
Right.
And that is a very interesting introduction then, because then Exaudi takes it up with an a cappella form, and they take up the vocalizations, and then there are other repeated vocalizations that occur throughout. I sort of hear like through the door, maybe, or it Helen. And so you hear some other vocalizations that you put into the conversation.
So that was recorded as an art making session he has at Project Artworks, which is an organization that works with neurodivergent adults. And so throughout that conversation is I'm there, but there's also his support artist, Magda, as well. And so in order to engage Paul and encourage him to work with his practice and to keep him focused and engaged, she talks to him a lot and she expresses what's going on around him. So there was lots of people coming in and out of the room that was distracting him. So rather than trying to get him to not look at that, she would engage with it. So she would go through the doors. So that's what you're hearing. And Ellen comes through the door. So it's Ellen. So it's really kind of like a real-time observation of the conversation she's having with Paul and engagement of that space and time through the ways in which we all engage with Paul and encourage him to engage with us in return.
And you do a very interesting thing with Exaudi here, because you have sort of a choral melodic singing with the different voices of Exaudi. You then go into the sort of vocal ostinato behind it. So you have the choral singing with this vocal ostinato behind it. Mm-hmm. And then you go into the vocal ostinato pretty much alone. So it's really this interesting combinations of using, instead of the violin interacting with the vocalization, you have the vocalizations of both the ostinato and the melodic content interacting with one another.
Yeah, so this was the first movement that I really recorded and wrote down in the development of this process. And it was all taken from this one day of recording with Paul at Project Artworks. And so it was really just a playground for me to kind of really bring out all of those utterances, those micro gestures, the micro sounds in ways of not just Paul communicating, but everyone else around him. And it felt like such an important sound world to bring out in music rhythmically with Exaudi, because the way Paul communicates a lot of the time is entirely reliant on advocates and people around him to access the world. So making the most of that kind of interplay and communication, that's what I wanted Exaudi to do, basically. Because for me, the whole project is about Paul communicating to me, me communicating to Exaudi, and Exaudi communicating to an audience. It's that chain of communication that I really wanted to bring out. So this particular movement felt like an opportunity to make the most of that process.
Hello, Paul.
Hello, Paul.
Hello. What is it?
What is it?
You're a little bit tired.
What is it?
Mum, and
what is it?
Out. out
through the doors.
Through the doors.
Through the doors.
Through the doors.
Helen.
And then the next piece is duet one, Then. Mm-hmm. And this opens with recorded vocalizations by Paul, but then quickly into a duet of the soprano voice with the violin. And with an occasional recordings of Paul and others sort of mixed in. And the duet is really interesting because it's sort of like a conversation. But the conversation in some cases is that the violin and soprano are very different, like one would have in a conversation like we're doing now, or it echoes it. So you'd have the vocalization echoed by the violin or vice versa, so that you have these two sort of interacting duets.
So the duets, both conceptually, they sit together. The first one, it's actually between the violin and the alto singer. And the Then is referring to Paul and I's relationship as siblings back when we were kids. So the alto is supposed to represent Paul when he was a kid. And tonally, we both start on the same notes. We start together in the middle of our ranges, respective ranges. And then throughout the process of that conversation, we start to draw apart in our ranges, where the alto ends at her lowest note and I end at my highest note. It's a process of just drawing apart and pulling away, basically, which is what happened throughout our lives into adulthood, basically. And woven throughout that are, yeah, these recordings of Paul, a MIDI tonal response to that. And so the MIDI patch is giving us the melodies and the notes to play around with within our respective ranges. So I paced the score at each point where we would move into a different range, basically. And then we would play around within that range. And then the next recording of Paul will cue us to move into the next bit.
Ooh. George. Ooh.
said.
This is WRUU-LP, Savannah, Georgia, 107.5 FM, WRUU.org. We are Savannah Soundings, community radio with Global Soul.
You're listening to WRUU, your local radio station, for people just like you, hosted by people from your community. The voices you hear are your neighbors, coworkers, and others from the Savannah and Lowcountry area. In other words, WRUU is your community radio station. Please help us by donating whatever you can to help your neighbors and friends stay on the air. Go to WRUU.org and support your local radio station. Any amount is welcomed. Thank you for your support of WRUU.
This portion of WRUU's programming is brought to you by listeners like you and by the American Traditions Collection of Concerts, including the Junior American Traditions Competition Finals on Sunday, December 7th at 5:30 p.m. at District Live in the Plant Riverside District, 400 West River Street, Savannah. More information and tickets are available at www.atcsavannah.org. Savannah Stage Company has announced that registration is now open until November 21st for its 9th annual Young Writers Night. The event is open to all students enrolled in public, private, virtual, or homeschool programs within Chatham County. Students may write and submit short plays. More information, full contest rules, and registration can be found at www.savannahstagecompany.com/savannah-playwrights-series. This music is often called classical music, But remember, Mozart, Beethoven, and Liszt were the rock stars of their time. So I simply call it great music. I'm your host, Dave Lake, and join me for four centuries of great music with new episodes each week on Sundays from 3 to 5 p.m. We also have encores of these episodes on Saturdays from 3 to 5 p.m. from mid-June to early December. Welcome back to Evening Eclectic. I'm your host, Dave Lake. Tonight on Evening Eclectic, I'm talking with violinist and composer Ruby Colley about her new album, Hello Halo, which was released this past Friday on November 14th on New Amsterdam Records. In this album, Ruby and the vocal ensemble Exaudi explores the rich repertoire of sounds and gestures that her neurodivergent brother Paul uses to communicate. And then the next piece is called Echoes. And this is particularly interesting, perhaps my favorite movement. It opens with the word hop.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's slightly variations on it. And initially, you get this echoed effect, like a rhythmic hocket.
Yeah.
And then it goes into this, I'll call it an odd counterpoint, with a violin in the background, quite legato, and it's separated from the parts of the vocalizations, which are very rhythmic and interacting with one another. Then there's a mixture of this rhythmic hop variations with more legato voices that are very similar to the violin in this case.
Yeah.
And so then you have this first section ending with a very legato bass voices joining the melodic violin under the rhythmic other voices. And all together, you end melodically with this ending glissando with a pause.
Yeah.
And then you go into the second section. And the second section, again, starts with a hop, repeated almost metronomically. And then you have this, I think I heard like up and down, the words up and down, repeated a few times.
It's a variation on hop, which is hoppy lao, which is something that he used to say as well.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have that variation, and that's repeated a couple times.
Yeah.
And then you have, again, the very lyrical legato violin under the vocalizations, with some legato mixed in with more rhythmic vocalization in Exaudi.
Yeah.
And then suddenly, out of these rhythmic vocalizations comes Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star, the rhythmic pattern of Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. And I think it's a soprano and alto mixing with one another. And then you have this bass applying this continuo underneath everything going on. But then it moves from sort of the individual voices into harmonization. And then the legato violin at the very end.
Right. The way you describe it, it sounds so intense. So Echoes, the main kind of hook word is hop, like you said, and that this whole movement is about the words and sounds that Paul said as a child and has subsequently lost, which is quite a common thing to happen with people with autism, you know, or nonverbal people, is that sometimes they lose those words. If they did speak as a kid, they lose them. So this is almost like an archive of the sounds and the words that he used to say that we haven't heard since he was a kid. So hop was a word that he used for up, basically, to look up. So the things that we see up in the sky, like stars, birds, planes. So again, his one words would have multiple meanings and multiple contexts. And so the Twinkle Twinkle reference was put in there because obviously I learnt Twinkle Twinkle as a kid on the violin when I first started learning. And yeah, that got repeated quite a lot. But many years later, when he was about 7, he sung Twinkle Twinkle in the back of the car, pitch perfect, like a choir boy, but with the word hup. So I kind of figured, oh, that must mean he's referring to the stars, you know, Twinkle Twinkle Little Star. And, you know, we were obviously so shocked and surprised by this. And it told me that, A, he knew exactly what was going on around him and remembered it all, but also that his processing time to respond to us took quite a while, you know, because this was a good 4 years after I stopped learning that piece. That felt like a really important thing to include in this movement. I deliberately kind of distorted the melody of it through the violin by putting the violin on top and creating almost a dissonant edge to it that kind of goes against the melody. Because I wanted to cloud it and shroud it within the piece.
With your explanations, it's really interesting how the different movements of the piece reflect different times in his life.
You know, a lot of my work is a process of archiving. You know, my previous albums, I think of them as archives. And so when I wanted to communicate to Paul, but also to audiences, who Paul is as a person, it makes sense to give everyone the full picture. Because I think a lot of the time when people encounter disability, and especially people who can't speak for themselves, there can be a lot of confusion and fear about A, their understanding of the world, but B, how they're being received as well when they're meeting them. So this work is as much about giving people the full picture of who he is, the context of that he was a child once just like you, and, you know, he's still here existing in the world.
And it's really interesting how it was some period after, you say maybe 4 years, between the time that you were practicing Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star, and he then sang it perfectly.
Right.
Are there other illustrations of music that you've been playing, that he's been listening to, perhaps as you've been practicing, that were then transferred later on?
No, that's the only time that's happened. But that's not to say that he wasn't absorbing them too. I mean, I think the very nature of Twinkle Twinkle as, but I think for Paul, it was obviously very easy to attach to rhythmically. And I think obviously the pieces that I learned later on got a little bit more dense and complex and definitely not as repetitive. But he was still there, you know, listening. There's kind of home videos of him sitting on the floor watching me practice and stuff as I was older. And so I think, yeah, he's very much part of my musical learning and journey, I think.
And either you or in addition to you, is music part of his life? Is music part of something that excites him or calms him down or interacts with his emotional framework?
Absolutely. We both grew up in a really musical household. My parents aren't musicians themselves, but music was always on. Classical Radio 3 was on all day, every day, but we also got Bach played, you know, the cello suites, the violin sonatas and partitas, Mahler, Tom Waits, you know, Hugh Masekela. We had, you know, all sorts going on. And, you know, we would go on these kind of long car journeys to, you know, Paul's appointments, you know, sometimes traveling across to Wales. And so the car was filled with classic albums to, you know, help us get through the long journey. So, like, you know, Paul Simon's Graceland was on repeat for a long time. And yeah, so we both grew up in a very music rich household.
Well, and it's interesting that you use Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star, and that that is what he copied later on. And the richness of the musical background, including classical music that you were listening to younger, because the immediate thing I go to is the 12 variations on Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star by Mozart.
Right, exactly. That got played a lot as well.
Okay.
Yeah, totally. Very familiar with that. And I think the music that you get exposed to when you're young and your brain is a sponge, I think all of that went into the melting pot of my mind in some way. And I think Mozart's variations on Twinkle Twinkle was absolutely what I was thinking about when I was bringing this into the movement. I know what he would do, but I wanted to obviously do my own version of that.
Hop, hop. Hop, hop. Hop, hop, hop. Hop, 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 hop. Hop, hop, hop. Hop, hop, hop.
And the fifth piece is Duet 2 Now. So this puts it in the context of now versus then was when you were in your youth.
Right.
Now, I guess, reflects the interactions that you have with him as adults.
Exactly, yeah. So in the opposite form to the previous duet, myself and the bass, who is obviously representing Paul now, we start at the opposite ends of our ranges. So the bass starts at his lowest note and I start on my highest. And we gradually move through the movement, slowly coming together until we finish on the same note in the same range. And that finishes that particular movement. And again, the way it's paced is the same. So we are responding to the vocal cues and the MIDI responses throughout the movement, and that cues us to move to a new tonal range together.
I hear sort of mama as mm-hmm. part of one of the vocalizations, but there's a variety of different patterns of vocalization, and that is supported then by the legato violin. But the violin then becomes quite rhythmic with pits and very rhythmic arco as well.
Mm-hmm.
But as the sound continues, it's the ranges get closer and closer together, but also rhythmically you get closer and closer together. To at the end, the violin is really sort of in a rhythmic duet with the voice.
Yeah, absolutely. And when myself and Owen were recording this, we only did a couple of takes, I think, but the way he responded to the recordings, but myself, the way we communicated with each other felt very intuitive. And at the end, yeah, there is this really lovely intuitive kind of response to one another where we end up, you know, getting closer together, not just in range, but in the sounds that we're making.
Ooh. God. Ad. Ad.
And the last piece is called Cosmology. In this cosmology, you have these sort of repeated letters and right. breathy vocalizations with other repeated tones and repeated tones on the violin. And it goes through sort of the slow crescendo as you're going through. Mm-hmm. And so it goes to the peak of that crescendo. Then it gets quieter with a more legato violin. And the vocalization seemed to be a repeated E with the higher voices, first spoken more than sung, and then it goes into sort of a more singing quality to it. And then there's this really great crescendo with this fortissimo E and some other words, such as, I think I heard close to the sea, and it's all over a legato violin drone. And then you hear this close to the sea harmonized in the upper voices, the soprano and alto. And then you have that sung in harmonization with the violin and this sort of glissando with the bass baritone sort of repeating letters underneath it. And then I sort of heard something to the effect of like joyful, who will spend time with, joyful, who will live with. This legato phrase over the rhythmic violin and a background breathing sound in that section. And then it goes to another phrase, which I really didn't catch well, but it's sung with this really passionate legato violin.
It's being in wild spaces. There's a variation earlier on in the movement where she says being in wild places, and then the last one is being in wild spaces. And obviously I wanted her to sing it as wildly as she possibly could.
This is probably the most passionate of the violin of any of the six movements.
Yeah, and obviously I wanted to mirror what she's saying. So, yeah, that's why I kind of brought out the wildness in the violin in that moment too. And for context, the whole thing is built around a response to a drawing called Cosmology of Care by my mother. And she made this beautiful kind of art drawing, but it's also a visual demonstration of the systems in place that help people like Paul live their lives. So we've got lots of bureaucracies, basically. So the letters that you're sounding are the acronyms of the bureaucratic systems in the UK. And there's so many that's why I thought I'd bring them all in and start to kind of make them build up in rhythm together until they just got completely chaotic and confusing and tumbling over one another, because I wanted to essentially communicate or translate how confusing these bureaucratic systems can be. Some of them are really wonderful and help Paul and people like him access the world and their lives, which is amazing, but also a lot of them are so complex to navigate. And I wanted to translate that in through music, basically. And then woven throughout that are the phrases you're hearing are the more autonomous things that Paul has in his life that gives him his life meaning. Like the choice of who he spends time with, the choices of who to live with, being in wild spaces or being close to the sea. They're all the autonomous elements that give his life meaning.
O-P-G. C-O-P.
D-L-A.
D-S-T.
E-S-T.
D-L-A.
P-H-B-C-H-C.
D-W-P.
Tonight on Evening Eclectic, I've been talking with violinist and composer Ruby Kahle about her new album, Hello Halo, which was released on November 14th on New Amsterdam Records. In this album, as we've talked about, Ruby and the vocal ensemble Exaudi explore the rich repertoire of sounds and gestures that her neurodivergent brother Paul uses to communicate, and shares with us sort of the story of his life and the story of his living with others. And I want to thank you so very much, Ruby, for being on the show tonight.
Thank you so much for having me, Dave. It's been a pleasure.